Dawn and Elisa, thank you so much for being here with me today. I'm so excited to hang out and chitty chat. Every time I connect with both of you, it feels so like nourishing, inspiring. And I know, Dawn, we got to meet in person. I have not met Elisa in person, but it feels like I know you both on this other level. And so it's very special for me to have you here today. Hi.
Hi. Thank you for having us. And yes, Elisa and I haven't even met in person yet, Ayla. So that's pretty crazy.
Ayla, I feel like I know you because was it 10 years ago when we started collaborating? I searched your email in my inbox and you had sent me an email about potentially doing a unicorn reading with me, like when I was doing that 10 years ago. So I'm like, we're connected across timelines and realms.
Yeah, exactly. Like when you told me that, I was like, there's no way, but of course there's always a way. And yeah, and then I confirmed it in the email. And I was trying to remember what was happening in my life at that point or like what juncture I was at. And it's really interesting because then when I looked back, I was like, oh yeah, it makes complete sense that I was like searching for some like female support in that realm, you know? And it's just proof that we are all connected. I would love for you both to share. It's also funny that we're both in, or the three of us are in all different places, like Canada, the Northeast, well, kind of, right? So technically the Northeast. Yeah.
Technically, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm in the Southeast. And so we're in very different parts of the world, but we're connected in this way. And so I would love to hear about what inspired you to create All Connected Agency. Like, what's the story, the arc?
Okay. So, wow. All Connected was birthed in a really, really like magical kismet way, of course. And Dawn and I had been collaborating. We have a lot of shared skills, one of them being conversion copywriting. And Dawn and I were collaborating on Shanti Zach's amazing team. And we had both kind of gone to do, I had just had my first baby and Dawn was, she could tell you a bit about her story and where she was at that moment. And in a funny way, we have a podcast, we have an episode about this. We were kind of born out of a rock bottom, out of a sort of tower card moment where AI was taking copywriters' jobs. I had lost a main client. I had a baby who was 2 months old. And we had a brand designer, amazing brand designer, Franzine, with us at the time, too. And she's still our lead consultant on design projects. And it was sort of this like sisterhood moment of like, let's team up as a collective. We have so many shared gifts in the marketing realms. And Dawn and I have like amazing synchronistic connections, too, that we had no idea until we were like kind of put together by spirit, I would say. And we're convinced we worked together many times before this and made magic together in many, many ways. And so, yes, born out of a rock bottom, we just started collaborating on marketing projects for we currently and at that time too support visionaries, thought leaders in the holistic space in their marketing. So that could look like a seven-figure business who's doing a launch or a new website or a rebrand, as well as business owners who have an established practice, or maybe they're amazing doulas or midwives, healing practitioners, et cetera, who are looking to be more visible online and establish themselves in that way as well. Business growth across many multitudes. And I will leave that there. I'll hand it to Dawn to fill in the blanks.
Yeah, sure. Thank you, Elisa. Yeah, Elisa and I came together 100% because Spirit led us. A mentor that we had both worked with was getting to know Elisa. And she was like, you need to reach out to Dawn. You guys have so much in common. And most importantly, it's that we really feel like spirit first and taking care of the self and the community, the most important part, even about marketing. And yeah, the rock bottom that Elisa is speaking about is, yeah, I was doing marketing consulting for a software company that really focused on like personal connection. It was a quiz software company, and they let me go during the AI revolution, February 2023 or January 2023. Yeah, they let us go, or let me go and let Franzine go. And we had been collaborating a lot. And so the name of our company is all connected for a couple of reasons. One is because, like, yes, we're spirit first, and we believe we are all connected, and like that the earth is alive, you know, and that spirit should be in the front of everything. And then also, as a copywriter, I had been handing off like big Google Docs to clients for years and not seeing projects get completed. And it kind of broke my heart. So there's like two meanings to all connected. One is like the yes, everything is all connected. And the other is that we wanted to hold space as a marketing agency so that when people came to us with something they needed done, they didn't just get parts of it. So they got everything that they needed. And Ayla, I know, you know, as a business owner, like there are so many little different parts to every single project. And I think it can like take entrepreneurs, visionaries, it can take us out of our magic when we're trying to figure out all of the details and hold space for all of them. So that's sort of how All Connected was born. And then, yeah, just kismet across the board. We just have this magical ability to attract like freedom, focus, spirit, loving, caring individuals. And so it's been like an absolute pleasure. Everyone that we worked with, we like would want to, you know, go camping with. I don't know why camping came up, but you know, or to a luxury like yoga retreat or what have you.
I know. It's funny because in my adult life, I realized that like I'm one of the few adults I know who love camping. Like I grew up camping, you know, like I get excited at the prospect of like living in a tent in the middle of the desert for 4 days, like cooking on a camping stove. But I know that that's like not everyone's cup of tea. And I couldn't understand why. Like even my own mother is like, no way. Like she went to Burning Man with like a tricked out RV, you know? And I was like, I would like, you know, live in a tent, you know, and do a sun shower. But anyway, whatever. So yeah, I would elect the camping. I would camp with you too.
All right, let's make it happen.
So what you said about like that need that we might feel as business owners, entrepreneurs, whoever is trying to create something, that need or like the almost pressure to cover all the bases ourselves is really debilitating. Like I can speak from experience because my business, you know, I grew from serving the community. Like I was really like, I was teaching birth classes out of my living room. I was doing free talks at chiropractors' offices. I was like doing free Q&As at pediatricians' offices, at obstetricians' offices. And from there, I was like, oh, they're filling up. And like, what happens when things fill up? Like, I need to create more opportunities. But I just like, and so I hit a ceiling of growth simply because I didn't, you know, I'm not like Saraswati. I don't have like 10 hands, you know, it's like I had to like figure out a way. And I said, well, this is just my limit. And I'm also a stay at home mom. So I would bring her with me to all of my teachings, my classes. And I was like, this is it. I'll just be content at this, in this space. Because the thought of having to creatively multiply myself just I can't even conceptualize that. And then 2020 hit and like all the classes, seminars, everything that like people had paid deposits for that, you know, people were planning to go to, like it all stopped. I was ready to keep teaching. Like I was like, what's the problem? But nobody else was thinking like that. And so I had to like learn Zoom and like learn, you know, like my father, my daughter's father, like he helped me learn like Keynote, you know, and like, because I didn't have, you know, I knew PowerPoint from back in the day, but it's like, I didn't know how to use Keynote. I didn't know how to do any of that stuff. So like within, I don't know, 6 days, I like did a crash course on all of this and realized that there is like, you know, of course, like the internet for better or worse is like an incredibly powerful tool. And like, I was like, how can I teach this thing that I feel is so important to do in person online? Like, how does that translate? And then it started to grow from there. And I started actually reaching more people. And I started to see that the value of what I was offering could become available to people that were not in my community. And I know that like, you know, people listening to this are like, yeah, duh. You know, especially like the younger generation, right? Like, yeah, that's like, what do you mean you're going like door to door? Like, how does that make any sense? But I just at the time, birth felt so intimate and pregnancy is so intimate and motherhood and man-woman relating, so intimate. I was like, you can't do this online. So my whole perspective changed. And then I connected with you all at a point where it was like, I was ready to go to the next level, but I was so overwhelmed by the prospect of like writing emails that were persuasive, that like creating content for the internet, like all the things that go into it with, you know, from a heart-centered place, right? Because like, yes, it would be great to make a living from this. Like that's the goal to, you know, support my daughter and myself. But also like, I didn't want to lose any of the quality of what I was offering. And so when I connected with you all, you really showed me how to maintain the level of quality and connection that I valued while also taking care of, like, realizing that, like, I didn't have all the answers. Like, I don't know how to write copy. I don't know how to do the back end of this. I don't know how design and copy and messaging work together. Like, you know what I mean? And that's when I was like, oh, there, it's like it takes a community, it takes a tribe, it takes all these people who have these different talents to come together and make this happen. And like, in the same way that I tell people, it takes a community to raise a child, you know, it's like the same thing. So I really, you know, I see that a lot. Women are trying to do, and men, you know, trying to do all of it, all the elements themselves, they crash, they burn. They feel resentful. They don't want to do it anymore. Or like the thing they're trying to sell or create just doesn't come to fruition because they become paralyzed by the logistics of it. And so would you mind sharing like some stories or like, you know, I mean, obviously I just told mine, but like what you've seen where it's like someone's growth happened, you know, exponentially because they decided to recruit that holistic support.
I love it. Yeah. Thank you for that. I think like what you pointed out to when you said debilitating is a reason a lot of people don't move forward in like their careers and their passions. And I don't think we should all have to do everything. Like that's another reason that we're together as like a collective or an agency is because like Elisa and I work really well together. We have team members who support, who are amazing, who we've got to help like grow over the last, a lot of them have been with me. Some of our team members have been with me since I owned a yoga studio over a decade ago, actually. But one thing that has been really, really special and felt different about working with us is that a lot of people come to us and they're almost ready to like blow up the business and do something else just because because it's so stressful. And we've actually seen a lot of our clients, whether they're like done for you marketing clients or like coaching clients, like fall back in love with their business again. And that has been like, that's more exciting than big launches, if that makes sense to you. And also, we've seen people change what they're asking for from their business based on, I think, a little bit of our attitude towards it all. And of course, we're all about big numbers and we want everyone to get big numbers. And like we last year helped like two or three clients hit their first six-figure launch. And that was like so cool. It happened all at the same time too, right? So you're like, whoa, that's so amazing. And I know the word sustainable business is buzzy and maybe overused, but like it feels like if we can help people fall in love with their business and turn it into something that is an energetic match for what they want to put out there in the world, that feels really, really good. We created this funny like prosperity portal. It's a business block eradicator prosperity portal activation, which is just like a week-long container with us. And we did our first one 2 days ago and we're in Telegram in a chat with the gal that we did it with. And I'm just like so happy and blown away by the shifts that have happened already from that first call and the chat and like what she's creating. And she's like, this feels so much lighter and I can see how it could work. And like, so that's my favorite part. And yes, we have worked and created like big numbers for people in multiple launches. One of the first launches I ever wrote years ago under Shanti's team, we did like 300,000 in 3 days. It was like kind of insane. And I feel so much better to just have someone be like, oh my gosh, I feel like I love what I do and I can like continue to hold and support people in this space in a way that I couldn't when I was like feeling this like girl boss, rah, 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 I need to make six figures every launch, 10K a month sort of thing.
Right. Because at a certain point, I mean, that girl boss energy, and I know we've talked about this, is, I feel like, been really popular, I don't know for how many years now, but it's like that term, I'm hustling, I'm a girl boss. And I actually know personally women who like identify as that, and like I know them personally, and like within their lives, like things don't feel super groovy, you know. And I think the goal is to feel groovy and also be doing the thing that we love and also generating income. And so that's, you know, for me, what that the softpreneur term really reflects, which is the name of your podcast and like your movement, you know. But what would you say is like that ingredient? Because I know when we get into this energy of meeting a number, we're also coming up against limiting beliefs around why we can't meet that number, or why we can't have X amount of people in our container, or why. So it's like, you know, there's a lot there that I just said, but like, what is the alignment that one has to come into to really be able to receive those numbers, the amount of, you know, participants in their container to be in that alignment? And then I'll ask my question about girl boss energy after.
Well, I'm going to start and then I'll pass it on to Alisa. But I think the first thing is really like recognizing where those goals or these needs to hit these places come from. And if they come from outside of what you actually need in your life, and come from, you know, yeah, like whatever the culture is saying, because on Instagram, you're following a bunch of people bragging about their 10K months, that sort of thing. I think that that can be problematic. And actually, Ayla, you sent a little podcast to us in our little group chat on Telegram recently about conflicting desires. And I've been really like sitting with that in two ways. One is that like, are your desires actually conflicting, or do you think they are? I think that's like one thing. And then, yeah, like, what do you really, really want? Like, do you actually want like a really spacious day, but enough money to make it move forward? Or are you looking for like $1 million in the bank right now? And so for me, I think there's a shift that happens when the goal comes from like your heart and from spirit and from service, rather than from like a need to, yeah, like as our client Jenny was talking about, like get dopamine hits and feel like a good girl, like you've done it, like you're an A student. Because you've hit that spot. And Alisa, I know you have more to add to this.
Yes, I love this conversation. And in some ways, it feels like the softpreneur, yeah, I'll say it, it might be like the maturation, the feminine maturation of the girl boss. And I think there are eras in, I know it was an era in my life, and so in women's lives, where maybe taking on the role of the girl boss is highly empowering, right? And we do look a lot like we're in the realm of sovereignty, and where are we in victim consciousness? And we hold our clients. I think what becomes really amazing is that we apply this lens to your marketing stories and metrics. And so those old hungry ghost stories sometimes become that, like you mentioned, Ayla, the limiting belief. Where is a story that maybe used to serve you no longer serving you? So I know at one point in my evolution, because I'm very flowy and soft by nature, I needed to kind of take on the girl boss cloak to be like, I'm going to be the primary breadwinner. I'm going to hustle. Like, I can do this. And I needed to prove like a sort that I had this sort of strong masculine ability to grow income. And that was really empowering and magical. And then, like, I think a lot of us, and what's been really beautiful about holding space for community of business owners who want to do this in a softpreneur or an aligned or an energetic or a sovereign way, is to see how we all, like, our paths mirror each other in the most beautiful ways, or echo or reflect. And so, like, it really feels like our community, what we're seeing is like we're kind of over that archetype. And the softpreneur, or the woman who doesn't have to compromise one desire over another, or that the work that you do can really be an extension of the way that you want to live your life, we can find a new harmony and flow. And like Dawn mentioned, we have so many clients. It does feel like part of our medicine because a lot of us have rules and rigidity around how we have to market ourselves. And a lot of marketers like to give 3-step plans. I'm on a thing about this lately, or a lot of rules. And we get a lot of information and a lot of it well-meaning and a lot of it useful, sort of like in this trap or like matrix of how we need to market ourselves. And what happens when people come into our field is they think they want to launch something based on what they should do, what they've seen work for other people, what the best practices are. And we come in and we have that hard marketing knowledge and kind of masculine containment piece. And we're going to look at you and like your case kind of as an individual and the energetics. And ultimately, most of the time, it's like, what is really lighting you up right now? Where are you most authentically showing up as yourself? Okay, yes, there's a lot of shoulds, but like what's really working well in your business? And can we simplify this to not have it feel like you have going through all these hoops when actually we could just go right to the heart of the thing and focus your efforts in a more regenerative, I would say, direction?
Okay, so what came to mind just now was this phrase that I started like kind of repeating to myself probably the beginning of my time in college, which was that comparison causes suffering. And so I was a fine arts, anthropology and fine arts major. And I was like, I'm not reading and I'm not looking at any other artists. I'm not looking at anyone's work. Like I am not involving myself in any of that. Like I am just going to sit with like the things that I want to create. I really tried to hold that pretty much through my whole life, which is also interesting because then I was like, well, then how do I glean inspiration? And I was like, I want to glean inspiration from things that already exist in the natural world, not what other people are creating. So, you know, I went through my own process of really defining what that was. And even now, I don't follow like any birth worker, like anyone who's in the birth world. I just like don't know what's going on with anyone because I hold that. And I wonder what you think about that, because it seems like when we start to compare ourselves to other people in our field, we're like, oh, like, let me mimic that because it's really working for them. And, you know, I know that there's like formulas, like you mentioned, like these 3-step processes or things like that. But like at the end of the day, when there's a certain energy behind the intention, or if it's coming from the heart or the desire to create, that feels like way bigger of a force than just like copying a formula. And I had an assistant that was working with me a while back, and her whole thing was like, I've looked at the numbers and I've done the comparisons in your area. And I was like, I don't care. Like, I don't care. And like, I don't want to know, like, I don't want to know that they're charging that. That's not going to change anything about what I'm charging. She's like, well, the economy is like this and other people who are, you know, doing the exact same thing you're doing, like this is their number. And I was like, you know, I don't think this is a good match, you know, because that information is not valuable to me. So what do you think about that? Like, do people in a certain field need to know what's going on in the market with the other people who are doing the same thing? Do they need to be charging the same amount? Should they be doing their same social media tactics in order to, you know, because like for me, it's not supernatural, believe it or not, to like speak in front of a camera, you know, on social media. And so I'm like, okay, when I feel inspired to do it, I will do it. And then it will feel legitimate to whoever's watching it. But if I force myself to do it when I'm not feeling it, like everyone's going to know. And I'm so not about doing things that don't my body's saying a no to.
Yeah. I think that's the answer, really. I mean, I do think if you don't know anything about anything, it's probably worth it to take a little look around and see what people are doing and see if like someone out there, you're like, oh yeah, that's really cool. I like that, you know? But I think I would look and then I would look within and I would start within, check things out and then look within again. And yeah, I don't follow, like the only business coaches I follow or marketers I follow are like people I study with or who are my buddies, if that makes sense. So this is where I'm going to come back from shoulds. And I actually think it's like, it's how it works with the individual, right? And so I agree that thing that you're inspired to do, that you feel called to do, that like, if you don't do it, you'll be like, you know, that's the thing that you should do. And there are also ways where you might not be in touch with that call. And so that's like what you need to look at. So I do think, you know, it's probably worth it to learn a little bit about writing copy. You know, it's probably worth it to learn a little bit about whatever, how Instagram works, or maybe something about like thumbnails for YouTube. I think it's worth it to know enough to be able to discern, especially if you're hiring outside of yourself for support, to discern like if people are doing a good job or not. But then I think each of us, and we really believe we're coming into this new paradigm where it's all energetic. And I think Elisa will probably speak more to this. But I think that if we can like get clear on ourselves, really be centered in our own center, in our soul, and also in service, like, why are we doing these things? It's to serve other people. Then I think what's going to flow through is going to be exactly what you need to bring the right people to you in order to grow in the ways that you need to grow to bring the next right people to you. But the problem is when all of your patterning gets in the way, right? So looking outside of yourself might help the patterning get out of the way. And if you're the sort of person who, when you look outside of yourself, you get ideas, that could be good, but then put them away, I think, afterwards, you know? But I do think that the only way to have a success that's going to feel really like sustainable over the long term is for it to come from the call of your soul, right? And we know with you, Ayla, like when you feel like posting because you're like, oh my God, I can't believe this thing, like that's when it blows up for you, right? I also, before I pass it on, want to say that when you were on our podcast, Softpreneur, you spoke about really feeling the value of what you were creating and imagining it serving the exact people it needs to serve. And that has been pretty much my favorite way to, I'm like, you guys need to listen to this podcast with Ayla. When people ask me about like, how do I know what to price it? How can I make sure I'm calling people in? If you can't stand behind the value of what you're creating, it will be very hard for someone else to, you know? So I want to say thank you for that, because it was such a, you know, such a beautiful moment for me in realization that like, of course, it's all from us. And it's also, we need to believe in ourselves. And probably, you know, this is why we say marketing can be a healing modality, because like so many ways you can get in your way. And I think that comparison is a big way that we can get in our each other's way. It's definitely, I think, part of what keeps me from like posting regularly or something. So yeah, I think that's what I have to say in answer. Do you have more, Elisa?
I do have thoughts. Yes, I have thoughts on this idea of when comparison can be kind of crippling in business versus when it can be expanding, perhaps. And we like to talk about or think about like your muse, because we also have creative and creative writing backgrounds. And so if you are taking steps forward out of sort of comparison and fear and looking at somebody else's final product and thinking, feeling whelmed or getting sort of victim-y about, I could never like create something like that, which I think is a story a lot of us tell ourselves when we are first going to write our own copy and we're looking at the world's best converting copywriter's sales page next to ours, you know, and there's a journey there. And sometimes it can be really fun and creative and empowering to take steps to fill knowledge gaps. And I think it's almost a story of letting the muse move you. And then when you need to add a new technical skill, like Elisa today, learning to use a tripod and the light and the microphone effectively, I can show up better if I'm using these devices. And if I refine my message through conversation, like Ayla, you refine your teaching through in person and through being with women and through knowing like this gift that you have to offer to the world, to me, that's always primary. And then we look at the muse space. So we talk about expanders, which is a term borrowed from Lacey Phillips's To Be Magnetic, or coined from Lacey Phillips. So if you have a few, like, I feel like I have a few marketing muses, people whose marketing I just love. And Ayla, you're one of my social media muses. Like, I love how you show up on Instagram in a really authentic, fun, polarizing way, and the beauty that you bring to your visuals and your branding. So I would suggest anyone who's listening kind of create a list of muses or things that fire you up. And then you can look to things that don't inspire you, just as like an artist would, if that that's your vibe, to be like, no, that's not me. That's not what I'm going to create. I'm going to lean into this. But as much as we can kind of tend our spark or our fire or our muse space as creative entrepreneurs, that's where I think it gets to be fun. And we kind of get out of this, like, I'm just a boss babe hustling and I'm doing like doing, as opposed to like resting in yourself and feeling what you're authentically called to do, which is, I think, ultimately a lot of times what Dawn and I give permission to business owners when they kind of consult with us or come into our field, to like come back to what they really want to create, where they're at, what feels appropriate given their energy, and kind of tease those different features out.
Yeah, I read somewhere recently that in this culture of consumerism, like, depression levels are at an all-time high because we're not creating enough, right? We're not using our hands enough. So when we don't create, we start to fall into this kind of sedentary, depressive state. And so in a sense, like, that's where the alchemy happens in working with you, right? Because I remember during our launch almost 2 years ago, the first launch we did together, I started creating a lot more. I was feeling inspired to create a lot more for the launch. And I was like expressing certain things in videos and creating posts. And I was feeling this upward spiral of energy. And I was like, oh, this is really interesting. And anyway, so I see, you know, even children like my nieces and nephews, right, where they're very heavily lodged in consumer culture because of the generation that they're in. And even adults, you know, it's like scrolling and it's like, oh, I'm consuming information. They don't realize that they're having to also digest and assimilate that information as well. And then sometimes people feel like down after scrolling or down after consuming content. So yes, there's learning, but then there's just consuming content and then that kind of like empty feeling afterwards. And so I really feel that you do inspire people. Like, what would you say someone, like, what are steps that people could take, right? If they're like, well, I have this hobby or I have this skill, I don't even know how to create something from this. Is this a viable business? Like, how do we get people out of that consumerism rut into creating something and offering it out, if should they want to offer it out?
I have several ideas for this. And I think one of them is finding your community. And to go back to that word expanders, it's the idea of like, who are the people that kind of are already expressing, not in a comparison way, but who inspire you, who are your muses, or who help light that spark and tend the fire for you, and then put yourself in their field, whether that's, you know, and it doesn't even have to be in a paid container kind of way. It could be, you know, if you see someone who's putting themselves out there in a way that is like, oh, that is speaking to me. And I just went through this experience. I did Madeline Moon's Body of Art container, which is all about your online expression. And so beautifully, like, it helped me bring back acting, which was something that I did until I was 25, but in a very hyper serious way. And now, like, the play is allowed to be there. And so I would say one thing, and I think, and Dawn and I, we do have community for business owners. So if that's you and you're listening and you're like, I just need a group, or I need people to sort of like sisters too, or kind of business doulas is sort of like a space that we hold to like be held to walk this path and take my next steps, and having those like business besties or allies who are really in alignment with you. I think as often relational beings, women especially, like, it helps so much, which is like what Dawn was speaking to about why we went in together, because individually we have less, it feels like less motivation to do all the steps and the things, but we can have a chat or we can have a chat with you, Ayla, and we can be like, well, what's really lighting you up right now in the space of your launch? And we'll go there and we'll hold you through it, and we'll help kind of cheerlead along the way, which I think is really essential for the long game of business, which it truly is.
And accountability. Accountability is so important, you know, for me anyway. I know that it keeps me motivated and organized.
Yeah. And I want to go further into this creation place and taking it out of consumerism. And I actually think the people whose businesses explode the most aren't those who are trying to explode their businesses at the beginning, at least in terms of, and I have a friend, Freya Kellett. Ayla, you should totally have her on the pod sometime. But she's not even like doing anything on Instagram right now. But I don't know, like 4 or 5 years ago, she just started sharing her truth in a really big way on the socials. And it didn't feel like it was to create a business. It was really just around COVID and what was going on and speaking, you know, so speaking her truth around it. And she created this like beautiful community of people who just want to work with her no matter what she's doing. So she was in like the free birth movement and some stuff happened and that's not mine, so I'll just leave it. And now she's doing GNM stuff and that feels like more appropriate to her heart. And, you know, she studied with Melissa Sells and all that. But people love Freya because she creates from her heart and she does not give an F about what anyone else thinks. And Ayla, I think it's really similar for you. And like for a while, she was just sharing poetry. Poetry came through her. It never came through her before. She just started sharing poetry and people loved it. And I feel like so many of us are like, I need a presence so I can monetize my creativity. And I feel like if you were just like, I want to use all of these amazing tools out here, because it's crazy the tools that we have now compared to even 10 years ago and definitely 100 years ago, to create rather than consume. I feel like if you feel that pull from your soul to create something and you follow it and you move through it, it's going to turn into something that you can't even imagine. And that if you were trying to like, oh, I need a business. I want to have a business, like say for like you train doulas, right? I want to have a doula business. So that means I should be posting about these things. I should get this kind of photo shoot, etc. I don't think that's going to work as well as like, you're just like, oh my God, I feel called to share this thing I learned in my training or this situation that just happened with a client in a way that is, you know, fair to the client with permission, consent, etc. That's going to have so much more energy behind it than like, what are the marketing, like what are the steps in marketing and the metrics I should be looking into? And then you don't care how many people like the post, you know, you're just like, I did art, or I had a vision and I shared it with the world. And that, I think, I mean, that's more important than making money anyway. And I think when we show up authentically in this way, that's where people get magnetized towards us and then they want to work with us. And that's the other thing I wanted to say. You want to kind of like steps. I think you be yourself online and you grow an audience and then you create for them what they want that also lights you up. A lot of the time, if you're like, oh, I think they need this, talk to them maybe first and ask them if that is what they want. Like, it's in my opinion, everything we're doing is a co-creation with each other in spirit. And when we do it from that angle, we can't lose, you know, we can only learn and grow and expand others.
Yeah. I mean, it's so true what you say, because there are certain people where it's my perception that they're just creating things from their heart, like they're channeling, they're downloading something and they're just putting it out. And there is more focus on that than how to curate it in such a way that it looks, I don't know how to really describe this besides saying it, you know, it looks controlled and it looks really highly curated in that sense. I mean, I believe in having some self-awareness, you know, but like when it feels so forced and controlled, it really puts me off. And so I wonder, but that might work for someone else who's vibrating at that frequency, right? To receive that kind of content. But there's so much constriction around what's being put out that there's not a lot of flow happening, if that makes sense. And so I, you know, one of the exercises we do in the doula training is I ask them to focus on two influencers that really light them up and to talk about why, and then one online presence that really repels and repulses them. And I use those two words. And then I ask them, my students, to explain why they're, you know, repulsed and repelled. And then I ask them, like, what part of you do you see in them? You know, what part of you is being reflected back that's really like repulsive? And sometimes they're like, well, no. And I'm like, well, ask yourself, like, is there a part of you that wishes you could like swear online? Are you repulsed by that? Is there like a part of, you know, the good girl that's holding in that expression? And so that's kind of like the work we do. And not that they ever have to do that, but it's just food for thought, you know? And then sometimes I get students who are like, well, I follow this person and I don't know, because they're nothing like me. I don't even know like the content that they're putting out. I don't even care about that product, but there's just something about the way that they're creating that like I really enjoy connecting with them for a few minutes when I go online. connecting with the energy. So much about this is like just the energetics, you know, and you could have all the details in place for like a quote unquote successful launch. But if there isn't the energy behind it, if there isn't the alignment, if there isn't the divided will that we take inventory on, then it could flop. Right.
Yeah. And then if you make that mean something about who you are or the chances of your businesses succeeding over the long term, you will not, you know, like you'll just stop. And so I think that's the other like message I'd love to give to anyone who is, you know, launching a business or in business right now. And it's something that we work with all the time. But like, you know, life has ups and downs and so does business. And some things are going to work and some aren't. And if you don't test them, you won't know how you even feel in them. But if you decide that you're not a success because you didn't get enough like likes on the post or because, you know, five people joined and you wanted 25, like chances are it's not going to work for you over the long term. And again, you're coming at it from goals that are outside of yourself. And that is just not going to feel good one day, you know?
Right. So it's about titrating in, right? Because sometimes my students are like, oh, I want to charge, you know, X amount of money for working with a client. And I'm like, well, how does it feel in your body? And they're like, well, I get kind of constricted. And I was like, okay, so that's not the number. Lower it a little bit. And then they're like, I'm like, how does your body feel now? And they're like, oh, that feels a little bit better. I'm like, lower the number until your body can get behind it. Operate at that number for some time. And then you know, maybe in 6 months, you raise it by $200. And then you're like, your body can handle it. Your nervous system can handle it. And so sometimes not that people shouldn't dream big. Obviously, we all should, you know, like the moment you have a thought, it means it's already in some timeline happening. So it's like, how do we expand and expand? Through titration in sometimes really small ways. Like if you've never had an online presence, like maybe, you know, creating a YouTube channel tomorrow wouldn't feel your nervous system might fry. So what are the small ways? Oh, speaking at the dinner table in front of your roommates or your family, right? Making eye contact, like your nervous system's like, okay, I'm working on this. And then you know, a week later you try something new. So do you think titration is like one of the keys to actually expanding?
I think it definitely can. And I think also like what you said around like, yes, titration in that if that's what your nervous system needs. And I think like that might be what softpreneurialism is like having a business that works with your nervous system and then working with your nervous system in your business rather than bypassing it. And I think that's like also just more healthy. Like our bodies will be healthier when we have a business that works with our nervous system. And we are constantly like weighing, okay, is it too, like I had 6 Zoom calls yesterday. I'm like, that's probably too many. Next year, I don't want to do that. You know, so like, what are the things that you can do so your business feels good to your body? Because your body knows.
And we can make these adjustments even if we're in a 9-to-5 and work for someone else. It's not just about entrepreneurship. Like you can make modifications to the way you approach that really structured 9-to-5. You know, and create that softness you're talking about. So how can people find you?
Well, one of the best ways to find us is on Instagram. So our handle there is allconnected.agency, and we'll drop Dawn and my accounts in there too. And if you are a heart-centered, soulful business owner, service provider doing really, really amazing things in the world, and you haven't put it in website form yet, or you need to update your website because it's not really new anymore, we have a really fun offering coming up. So we hope you join us. We'll have a link for that too on January 16th. We're going to be hosting a free live community event all about like how to get clear on a website you love. So we hope you join us for that and find us on the ground, DM us some of the things that are coming up for you and your business energetics. And we would love to help you grow.
Yeah, because you work with individuals who are just starting out. Maybe they have an idea and they don't even know how to take the next step, or they're in the midst, or they know something needs to be reorganized, or they're already, you know, rising, expanding, but they want additional support and maybe understanding the interconnectedness of everything and how to make it even that much better. So you'll meet everyone where they are. And that's what I love about all connected. Thank you so much, ladies. It's been a pleasure. And I could keep talking to you for way longer, but we'll we'll table it here for now. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ayla. Thank you for listening.